Reading this morning is taken from Romans 8, verses 1 through 14. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin to the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but now we live according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Amen. Did you notice there's two therefores in that passage? Therefore is always the way that the writer is saying, because of what I've just said, this applies. We started with the therefore, so really we need to go back. But there was so much in the section that I was looking at that I thought, well, we're going to have to pare it down a little. But I want us to go back to recognize that it started off talking a little bit about death. Okay, it talked about how when you became a wife or a husband, you took a vow. And that vow was to be in force until death do you part. Remember that from the ceremony? It's not in all the ceremonies anymore. But according to the Bible, that's exactly what happened. But in Paul's discussion, he's pointing out how you and I also have to experience a death. And that's what this whole baptismal pool is all about. When we came to the baptismal pool, whether it was a river or something like this, or a bathtub, God didn't say there's only one kind of place you can be baptized. But what He said is, you are recognizing what I have done and what you are choosing to do. You are actually being buried as you go under the water. That is symbolizing your death. Do you remember that? You died when you were baptized. And it was symbolizing a choice you made. Because actually, you died when you said, I want Jesus to live my life. There's no room anymore for Kim or Johnny or Jeff. There's only room for Jesus. And so we're supposed to take on His reflection. Now what's beautiful is He made Kim and Johnny and Jeff with special abilities. And He takes that and He molds that. And I'm not excluding any of the rest of you. I hope you know that. And he says, when you come up out of the water, you are symbolizing that you are now a new creature. You are now alive, and you are now the mirror image of your Savior. Now, I wish it could happen just as quickly as we go under the water and come back up. But when we come back up as babies. How many of us get impatient? Do you remember when your babies were little and you said, oh, I can hardly wait till they can crawl? You were so excited that they were going to master crawling. And then when they're crawling and standing up and going around side and hanging on to things and tipping everything over because they're holding on to them. And we had a three-legged lamp. Did not do well for the kids when they're learning to walk. Three-legged legs on lamps just don't work. Over that lamp went. Over and over again. We still have it. It survived. Many a light bulb did not, but the lamp itself survived. We got impatient sometimes. Sometimes I think our Heavenly Father has to feel the same way. When are they going to get this down? But just like we were so excited when we saw our child master a new skill. The first time the child smiled at us. The first time the child giggled. The first time the child hugged us. The first time the child kissed us. And you know what? I don't care. I never get old. It does not get old when my granddaughters climb up into my lap and hug me. You know what? It doesn't even get old when my son or my daughter. Now, thank goodness they don't climb into my lap anymore. But they still hug me. And it doesn't get old. And I just think of how our Heavenly Father must feel as He sees us grow and mature. And sometimes He probably thinks, well, that one's really struggling and I'm going to give him some more time. Because our God has patience that you can't believe. You know, it's just a wonderful thing. But as we go on then, we see that what was happening was that we were now dying to the flesh when we were buried with Jesus Christ. And when we were raised, we were born to the Spirit. Remember when Jesus said, you must be born again. And this wise Pharisee's thinking, how can I be born again? And he went ahead to share that this is a spiritual thing. You know, this wise person who has seen all of the scriptures and the way God has revealed himself and realized that so many of the stories, when you look at the prophets, they would lay on their side for a particular emphasis on a point, or they would do all kinds of strange things. You'd have thought that a Pharisee would have been able to figure out that Jesus was not talking about going back into the womb and being born again. He's going, how can I be born again? I can't go back into my mother's womb. But you know, all of us have those spots that it's hard. Those scriptures that just kind of fly over us sometimes. And then all of a sudden, another scripture gives us the part that now makes that other scripture plain. And we think, why didn't I see that before? It's because we didn't have a little piece of the puzzle. And when we get that puzzle piece in place, the picture begins to look more and more clear. Now, imputed. Our sermon topic says righteousness. Imputed and then imparted. Okay, imputed. How many of you have used that word this week in your conversation? How many of you have ever used that word in your conversation? Okay, if we understand what's going on, this is a beautiful, beautiful concept. And when I first started thinking about it, I thought about it kind of as my savings account and my checking account. Because I have them hooked up, and if I write a check and I have not kept track very good, and I have money in savings, it will cover that. All right? And so I began to think of that. It's like having a savings account that this money's been put in there, and it's available. Well, you see, you and I have a savings account. And I want you to think about that. Savings account. Do you get it? Okay. Because it is all about salvation. And it's about, because of salvation, we receive righteousness. And so in this account is all these funds of righteousness. And it's because we are saved. And how did that get there? Not by anything you or I did. It was imputed by Christ. He put it there. And it's available for you. That's what being imputed is all about. But if I didn't have my savings account hooked up to my checking account and I wrote a check and I didn't have enough money in it, what happens to that check? It bounces. And I have to pay a fee, yes, the overdraft fee, the dreaded fee. And then if you didn't pick it up quick enough, because it takes a couple of days for the mail to send out a notice that you didn't have funds, and then you've thought, because you've made this horrendous mistake, you keep writing other checks, you keep adding overdrafts. Anyway, that's not the part of the story I want us to realize. I know you didn't understand that because you've never done that. Anyway, what I want us to recognize here is that account was imputed. It was put there by Jesus for you and I. But without it being connected, you can't get at it. That account is out there for every single person in the world. But a lot of people never take advantage of it. They never get their checking connected to the imputed savings. And you see, that is really sad. I want us to recognize that while we can sit here and rejoice, not all people are rejoicing. So I don't want us to forget that. But now let's talk about rejoicing. All right? Let's just rejoice for a moment. Because all of this is available. But as babies, we learn more and more, we grow more and more, and that's exactly how it is with our lives. So that's what it talks about as then being imparted. How is it being imparted? By hard work? No, by the Holy Spirit's work in our life. Now, sometimes that's not necessarily easy. In fact, there's a lot of things that are not necessarily easy about the Christian walk. But I want us to recognize that the power to do this is also imparted to you and I. It's by the Holy Spirit living and dwelling and teaching and guiding that we come to have more and more faith, until our face looks more and more like Jesus Christ, until our actions look more and more like Jesus Christ. No longer conformed to the world, but conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior. So, access. How's it happen? By our death. By getting hooked up, and that's how we get hooked up. By our death. Being raised to the new life in Jesus Christ. So this morning, as we think about this new life, let's learn not to be upset when we read a scripture that challenges us. When we read a scripture that makes us realize that something we've been doing needs to change. Now, guys, I'm aware this is not always easy. If I grew up doing something, and then all of a sudden I realize that that's not what God wants, that's not easy for me just to say, okay. I have to tell you, when I came to the point for myself that I could not celebrate Halloween and how it was going to affect my family, that was not easy. So then I began to think, okay, what is it that is necessarily that the kids are really liking about Halloween? Is it the celebrating witches and goblins? Or is it the candy? And I came to the conclusion that my kids probably wouldn't really be upset about not celebrating Halloween as long as they had candy. And so that's what we established in our household. And our kids were old enough, we've been celebrating Halloween. We used to have the costumes. Now, no, we never did the witches and so forth, because it always just kind of made me uncomfortable. Because I had become aware that there are many who are practicing witchcraft. I had become aware of this. And so those kinds of things started making me feel uncomfortable. And the things that I grew up with, the Casper the Friendly Ghost, Wendy the Witch, she was a witch, Wendy something, the Good Witch, that these were not a true picture. And that I had to try and teach my children a true picture. So sometimes change isn't easy. And I'm responsible for the things that the Lord leads me into. And so sometimes my walk's going to be different than your walk. And it's not my place to judge you or your place to judge me, because God's the one that's going to do that. But it is my responsibility. The scripture says, if I think something is sin, then don't do it. And so that's what we have to do. And I use that one expression. But guys, I hope you know that I'm talking about thousands of things that we grew up doing or not doing. I never had a bit of trouble getting down on my knees to pray because I saw my parents get down on their knees. But I'll tell you, when the Lord said to me that I had to fall flat on my face before Him, that was the hardest thing I ever had to do. Why did He say I had to do it? Probably because He knew I didn't want to do it. Probably because He said, are you really sold out or not? You see, sometimes God says, look, my word says that this is the attitude you have to have towards me. You have to recognize that before Him, we should prostrate ourselves. And so I really do believe we can do it in spirit. I don't think everyone's going to have to get down on the floor to get there. But I was one that God said, you've got to do it because you don't want to and aren't willing to, and you have to come to that place. But then for me, it was a thrilling thing. You know another thing? It was really hard for me to dance before the Lord. I am not a dancer, okay? Not a dancer. But when you are so filled with His Spirit that you just can't stand still, you end up dancing. And He knows it. But that was, I never danced. You don't go to church and dance. But, you know, it was, that for me was as far out there as those people who spoke in tongues. Do you know, that was another thing. I mean, we could go on all morning about the things that God's had to work on me with. So, but this morning I want you to think about being conformed and all that has been imputed to you, the righteousness that is there and the righteous living. All of those things are available. And you don't take advantage of them so often. Because we still want to be conformed to the flesh. So let us now make a decision this morning. I will no longer be conformed to the flesh, but I will be conformed by the Holy Spirit to the likeness of my Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, I pray that Your Spirit will be our guiding strength, our guiding thought. We ask that we would be able to surrender more and more. Help us, Lord, to conform to Thy image. We thank You that we are not powerless because we have been given Your Spirit who comes to dwell within. We are born anew with Your Spirit. Thank You. Clothe us with Thy power, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.